Slap of the hands, the pass complete to Felton. Felton breaks two tackles up the sidelines at the 40. He may go all the way. Down to the 35 and the 30. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Ty Felton.
Man, Maryland's got once again. We'll see if they've got enough in the trenches to compete with the big boys in the Big Ten. But the speed they have at wide receiver, in the backfield, at running back, in their secondary, up front defensively. Once again, Locksley, he recruits athletes, man. And Ty Felton, who played out in Northern Virginia in Ashburn, is a pro. I mean, when you watch him, this is a day two pick. I don't think there's any question about it. Worst case, Ty Felton, 7 catches, 178 yards, 2 touchdowns, including that hitch, which he turned into a 75-yard touchdown catch and run as Maryland blew out UConn in their opener Saturday in College Park, 50-7, Denton. You watched college football all weekend. I watched it all weekend long. Denton, of course, hosting SiriusXM college football show Friday nights and Saturday nights during the season. Before we get to the rest of the slate, let me just tell you, I know this has happened to me in previous years where I get excited about Maryland football early in the season, and then, you know, they get up against an Ohio State or a Michigan or a Penn State, and it doesn't look so good. You know, last year they were 5-0. They went to Ohio State. They were actually super competitive in that game, but ended up losing by 20. And they had a chance last year against Michigan at home. This year, they had question marks because there was no more Lua Tagovailoa at quarterback after 4 years, and Billy Edwards Jr. was taking over as the permanent starter, or at least the guy that had won the job here early. And they had questions about their offensive line, which was essentially 5 new players. Maryland's quarterback, Billy Edwards Jr., was outstanding on Saturday. Again, taking into consideration the opponent, which wasn't very good. He hit on his first 7. He was 20 of 27 for 311 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He rushed for another 39 yards on the day. He is a runner. He's dual threat. But his question mark heading into the season was accuracy as a passer. I thought he was on target all day. In addition to Felton at wide receiver, they've got Prather. I mean, both of those guys are probably draft choice material. Felton, I think, a day two pick. Prather could certainly be a day two or a day three pick. In the backfield, they got a running back in Hemby, who looks like another one of those backs who could end up on an NFL roster one day. And then Nolan Ray, redshirt freshman, played a couple of plays last year. They've been talking about him all summer. How are they going to keep him off the field? First time he touches the ball, 48-yard touchdown run. He's apparently a blazer, super fast. I like Hemby, too. They just have incredible game-breaking skill position players on offense. And then, I'm telling you, Denton, check out Glendon Miller, Maryland safety. He is so good. Their safeties are so good. They run so well defensively, and they're better up front than they've been at any point during the Locksley era. It's UConn. They won 50-7. Yeah, they put up 634 yards of offense. You know, they probably could have been 1,000 yards of offense if they really needed it. They play another team this week that they're a 9-point favorite over, Michigan State. I mean, Maryland's kind of moved ahead of some of the schools in the Big Ten in recent years that used to be solid, you know, kind of contenders slash pretenders to the big boys. Michigan State's one of them. They've got a new coach in Jonathan Smith. They're not very good. Maryland has a chance to be 6-0 when USC comes to town on October 19th. They're good enough, you know, talent-wise, to be that. Well, time will tell on whether or not they can match up to SC, to Oregon, to Iowa, to Penn State, all of whom are on the schedule. Ohio State and Michigan, not on the schedule this year. Did you see any of the Terps on Saturday, Denton?
Yeah, I saw a couple plays. Honestly, I didn't watch all of the game because it was in that window with Notre Dame and – or not Notre Dame, but WVU and Penn State. And then Clemson and Georgia, and I was just relishing in how far Clemson has fallen. this year, but Billy Edwards looked good. I went back and watched it quickly. He looked really good. I think you bring up a good point in that it's only UConn. And I know they're going to be the hot ad of the Big Ten or Big 12 in 5 years from now, 7 years from now, whatever it is. But I think it was more the fluidity of the offense that was impressive, and the way that they were able to move the football seemingly at will. So once they play better competition, you'll get a better idea of whether that's true or not. You know, Michigan State, while not good, is certainly better competition. I really like Jonathan Smith. I don't like Michigan State a lot this year. I think their quarterback's not all that great, but that'll be much better competition if they can still move the ball against a team that has at least on par the same kind of talent that they do. That'll be really, really impressive.
I watch Michigan State. I like Jonathan Smith, too, and I think he'll end up turning it around there. But they do not have Maryland's team speed.
No, they do not. No.
Maryland has exceptional team speed. I'm not talking about Georgia, Ole Miss, Alabama, okay? But I'm talking about that next tier down. That's where they are skill position-wise with their speed on both sides of the ball. By the way, they're pretty athletic up front on defense as well. They're a 9.5, 10-point favorite now against Michigan State. I actually thought we were going to see a double-digit line when it came out. But that's 3:30 in College Park. And then the other local that people were excited about, I know you were excited about Virginia Tech this year. That was a bad loss. Kyren Drones looked great in the comeback, and I flipped that game on because it was the only competitive game in that first window on Saturday. And he was out in overtime. They put the kid from Frederick, Maryland, the guy that played at UCLA last year, into the game, Colin Schley. And I thought Vanderbilt's quarterback was exceptional.
Yeah, Pavia was great. He was a gamer. The Drones for Schley thing, you know, I think he was cramping, Drones was, which is why they pulled him out. But I don't understand, if he's cramping, pull him out, fine. Don't put him back in for a play and then bring him back out for a play to then have the backup quarterback throw what is supposed to be the game-tying touchdown in the back of the end zone. The guy clearly wasn't warm. He sailed that thing, nearly got his wide receiver killed because he didn't see the safety coming across that leveled the wide receiver. I didn't love that coaching aspect of it. You need to, if you're going to take Drones out, take him out. But the taking him out, then putting him in, and then taking him out again thing was really, really weird. I didn't love that decision.
You saw the penalty that Virginia Tech got called on in the game of having two players on the field with the same jersey number?
That's so bad. That's like, I mean,
it cost them 3 points.
It cost
them
3 points.
They had the punt unit out there, and then they put the field goal team out there. They made a kick. That was turned out to be a huge field goal for Vandy. I thought Pavia looked great for Vanderbilt. And you weren't the only person, by the way. You weren't out there by yourself on Virginia Tech. I listened to a lot of people say Virginia Tech's much better than people think. They may not be able to win the ACC, but they're gonna be right there. Nick Saban loved Virginia Tech coming into this season.
Well, they still can win the ACC. So, like, if you're someone in my position that did pick them 10-1 to win the ACC, that's still on the table. But a loss to Vanderbilt's embarrassing. Because the thought is that you are a much better program than Vanderbilt, who is traditionally, for like a decade plus, been the bottom of the barrel in the Power Four, last year five, conferences. So like that, losing to them and then having that penalty that you mentioned, like that's a Vanderbilt penalty of the last 10, 15 years. So that, all of it, that was embarrassing. I hope they rebound, but that was an embarrassing loss for Virginia Tech.
Not a good one. All right. Take us through the weekend and give me your big storylines and your favorite games.
So as you mentioned, the weekend wasn't filled with a lot of great games. That's kind of what we expect, though, with week one. For most of the top 10 teams, it's basically a preseason game where they pay a lot of money to somebody to come beat them up, essentially. But I did think there were some impressive performances. I really loved what I saw from Drew Aller at Penn State. I had a lot of questions with him entering this season, and a lot of those questions were answered. Very similar to kind of what you mentioned with Billy Edwards, yet at a slightly grander scale. Can he be accurate? Can he throw with anticipation? Can he throw with touch? And he did that all, and did it against a pretty decent WVU team in a pretty tough environment. I thought that first touchdown pass, which wasn't the sexiest throw in the world, but throwing with the anticipation before his wide receiver broke and then putting it on the money, he didn't do that last year. So the fact that he now has the ability to do that, you know, Penn State, the way they ran their offense, their new offensive coordinator, Kotelnicki, I thought was really, really great. I don't know, did you hear what he said after the game about describing offenses?
I didn't.
All right, I'll play that for you in my news because I have that. But he described it as a blizzard, effectively, like a Dairy Queen blizzard. The way that they operate against WVU is incredibly impressive.
A DQ blizzard? Nothing wrong with a DQ blizzard. A lot of stuff.
It's
in
the
a DQ blizzard.
Best way I've heard to describe offense, personally. I really thought Miami looked impressive. You said you thought about playing Florida. I'm glad you didn't. I had Miami. I hammered Miami laying the 2.5. You know, sometimes I don't often beat the books necessarily, but the times that I do are stuff like this. Like I had Miami and I had Clemson. Those are my two biggest, or Miami and Georgia. Those are my two biggest plays because I understood the expectations for Florida and Clemson maybe a little bit more in depth than a casual fan did. Florida's bad. They're a bad team. They're still running Graham Mertz out there in 2024.
He's terrible.
I mean, he's living off of one game in a pandemic 4 years ago, and that's why he's still a Power Four quarterback. It's unreal that they're still running him out there.
Wisconsin beat who?
And I couldn't even tell you. It was the first game of the season. There were no fans there. The guy threw four touchdown passes.
Right.
And you're like, all right, this guy, he's the anointed one. And then he was not that for the rest of the year, and he's still playing college ball. I mean, it's a finesse king. It's him and DJU. They're like the two finesse kings. The fact they still have jobs as quarterback one is stunning. But Cam Ward from Miami, whew, the ACC is not good. But damn, Miami should train roll all of them. All of them.
Do you know stylistically, in watching Cam Ward last year and then, of course, in this spot, which was the biggest spot he's played in, you know, a game in the swamp and the opener for a Miami fan base, you know, that it needed this win because they're excited about the year. And that stylistically, there's a lot of Jaden Daniels in Cam Ward. There's a casual kind of cool in which he plays. Now, I don't think he's, because of his size, because he's not as tall as Jaden, you see he has to kind of create some passing lanes. So he's got to move around a little bit more, including moving backwards a little bit too much rather than moving up. And I think part of it is that he doesn't see it as well as Jaden did. But man, he was so good. And I didn't realize, although maybe you told me this over the summer, that the running back from Oregon State, Damian Martinez, is at Miami as well. He's going to be huge for them this year. They didn't need him as much on Saturday, but that was impressive. That was Cam Ward put on a show, you know, on Saturday and put himself, you know, along with Travis Hunter, you know, right there, you know, climbing the list of Heisman hopefuls.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. He looked like him and Drew Aller were the two best quarterbacks, I thought, from week one, you know, taking into consideration who they played. Because, like, I didn't learn anything about Will Howard. They played Akron at Ohio State. I don't learn anything from that. You know, Ole Miss, Jackson Dart put up, like, a Joe Burrow-esque first half. I saw that floating around on social media. Like, the only person that put up a first half similar to Jackson Dart was Joe Burrow against Oklahoma. In the playoff, the one difference is Joe Burrow did in the playoff against Oklahoma, and Jackson Dart did it against Furman. Yeah. Like, I don't learn anything about Ole Miss by beating Furman 76-0. Obviously, LSU and USC was the best game of the weekend as far as I was concerned because it had two quarterbacks that I thought were competent. I was stunned at how good USC's defense looked. I was stunned at how good they held up in the trenches against a team like LSU. I've been very off on USC this year, and I'm going to try not to get like completely caught in the air by the head fake, as you call it, that week one is. But they looked really impressive in the trenches.
So a couple things. I wrote down before this segment, Drew Aller, super impressive when I didn't think he was impressive at all last year. And by the way, also impressive with some mobility in that game. That game got delayed about 2 hours and 20 minutes. I also think Nick Singleton, they're back. He's always been super gifted, but he was unbelievable against West Virginia. And that was just a really, really good win for Penn State. You know, I know it's West Virginia. They didn't beat Ohio State. They didn't beat Michigan. But there was a lot of discussion that this was a trap game. This was going to be a difficult spot. Maybe they got lucky with kind of the crowd thinning out after a 2-hour-plus delay. But they were dominant in that game. And that's a good sign for Penn State because the quarterback got it done. I also wrote down Miller Moss and Nussmeier. Moss and Nussmeier in the Sunday night game, which I think for my money was the best game of the weekend. And, you know, a game that Brian Kelly's beating himself up for, and perhaps with good reason, because I thought there were opportunities on a couple of those third downs that they tried to run it up the gut, that they should have been throwing the football, because Nussmeier was outstanding as a thrower. Miller Moss, outstanding. Super quick processors. They were both really accurate. They did great jobs in replacing the last two Heisman Trophy winners in Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. I was so impressed with both those teams. Here's my one thing. It's week one. These teams were so bad defensively last year, and there was expectation for improvement this year. But I saw like an SC defense and even an LSU defense at times that was so much better than they were last year. We'll see how it holds up as the season goes along. But Nuss were so good. LSU just had so many boneheaded penalties, just stupid penalties. 15-yard penalty. Kyron Lacy with the shotgun or the pistol thing, the gun thing. That was so dumb and selfish, and it cost him big on field position on the kickoff return because Branch is something else as a returner for SC. I love the reaction to Miller Moss. It was similar to the reaction they had in the bowl game last year, Denton, when he threw six touchdown passes. And I'm not saying that at the exclusion of or at the any sort of criticism towards Caleb Williams, but they love this guy, Moss. And his interview after the game was really good. Like, he's got it together. Nussmeier has it together. I think these two teams are going to be interesting to watch all year. That was a good football game in terms of the football games all weekend. My other two notes were Oregon beat Idaho 24-14. When you think about Oregon this time of year, you usually think 58-7. 69-10, and they were 17-14 in the fourth quarter, but it was so misleading. I was actually paying attention to this game. They dominated the game. They just couldn't score for some reason. So this is one of those, like, week one can be a head fake. They play Boise this coming weekend. That it wouldn't surprise me if they put 50 plus up on Boise. And then my last note was last night. DJU has not been good at any stop. I don't know what made anybody think that it would be better. Jordan Travis getting injured last year ruined Florida State's chance at a national championship, or certainly a playoff berth, which they would have had. DJU was so bad last night, but what was really awful last night, if you're a Florida State fan, was the fact that Bill O'Brien, who can scheme it up offensively, you can think whatever you want about Bill O'Brien, you know, as the Texans head coach at Penn State, where he did a phenomenal job in the wake of the Sandusky thing, you know, coordinating in New England, whatever. He can scheme up offense. He can coach quarterbacks. And last night, his quarterback was outstanding as a runner and a thrower, and they rushed for 265 yards against Florida State's defense. They were 52 rushes, 16 pass attempts in the game. They controlled and dominated the line of scrimmage against Florida State. I thought last night was definitely about Florida State, Denton, and the troubles they have right now, and there are troubles for them. But I thought BC was super impressive and super tough at the line of scrimmage. And I've always been, Cooley and I got in this argument all the time, I've always thought that Bill O'Brien gets more out of less every place he's been. Penn State, you know, off of all of the sanctions and the, you know, recruiting and scholarship limitations. Houston, who they never had a quarterback, and he was taking them to 9-7 seasons, you know, and the playoffs each year. Wouldn't surprise me if BC's a bit of a surprise this year, and last night was as much about them as it was about Florida State. But Florida State's got no quarterback. No quarterback.
So bad.
And they got absolutely manhandled at the line of scrimmage last night, which was the biggest shock.
I mean, they ran 16 times. That's embarrassing. And how funny is it that the three best teams that I've seen, like, with my eyes in the ACC are Boston College, Georgia Tech, and Miami. What a trio that is.
I know. Yeah. Now, I wouldn't discount, like, Clemson, because they played the best team in the country. Again, that's what it looks like to me. But yeah, I mean, they had a quarterback that in college went 21 of 42. He completed 50% of his passes. By the way, he got picked off once, should have been picked off about three or four times, was lucky. He just doesn't see it. He's one of those guys that is a physical freak, always has been. You know, what is he, 6'5", 260, something like that? But he doesn't see it. He can't process it. He can't play the position. They should put him, like, as a pass rusher or a tight end. All right. Ian O'Connor wrote a book about Aaron Rodgers. I think we're going to have him next. It might be next hour, though, depending on the clock here. We'll figure it out during the break. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the Team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.